Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this November 16th, 2023. It is 3:30 on the clock, and you got your host, James, and we are joined by our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension, Madison Wood County. Laura, good afternoon.
It's great to see you on this gorgeous day.
It is beautiful out. Yeah, you picked a good day to come in.
Yeah. Does it feel like November?
No, not at all. Not at all. It will soon. But for now, we're going to enjoy these temperatures. We're going to enjoy this weather that Mother Nature's giving us. And we're going to enjoy the conversation with you and talking 4-H. Laura and I are going to get into the benefits and the many reasons to enjoy 4-H and get youth involved in it. But before we do, you guys have a very cool class coming up that I wanted to touch on. What's the SCAT? And it's not because I just wanted to say, what's the SCAT? It's actually a good class, a very interesting class.
Absolutely. So SCAT has a couple of different definitions, right? Mm-hmm. And we are not going to be performing. We are not going to be singing or anything like that. So if you don't already know, I come from a wildlife background. Mm-hmm. And SCAT is something of a scientific term for something animals leave behind that we can identify the animal and, you know, all that sort of stuff with. Mm-hmm. So Jasmine and Anna, our natural resources educator, mm-hmm. have a program open to the public called What's the SCAT? It's going to be at McMillan Memorial Library. We do ask for folks to register, but if you have young people who are interested in nature, in wildlife, in learning more about the environment around them, this is a great class for them. And What's the SCAT? You're going to be figuring out how to identify. Mm-hmm. And no, don't worry. We don't have real samples. We have rubber replicas that... go along with the education. It's fun.
It's fun. First off, that's really good for ventilation. Yeah. It's a smart move ventilation-wise. No. I was thinking about this during another interview that we had where we were talking with our friends at Visit Rome, and they've got a class coming up in December about identifying footprint, animal prints in the snow and all that. And I know I'm a city boy, so these things may seem a little more fascinating to me than maybe some out there. But I know, I've grown up with a lot of kids from this area that don't know some of these things or find some of this interesting. First off, I think it's a great idea getting young people, little kids, they laugh at stuff like this. Mm-hmm. It makes them giggle. It makes them laugh. And that's okay because it means that they're intrigued. They're
Absolutely.
Interested. The worst thing you want is no reaction mm-hmm. from a child. That tells you, okay, I got nothing here. They're going to laugh and maybe giggle at a little of this, but that gets them intrigued and interested. And we just, a phrase we use often together, Laura, we don't know what that sparks in their heads.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden we create new DNR members or new wildlife members or kids that go on to be veterinarians or something like that. My daughter was this way. I know many, many kids out there are like that, that something as simple as, something that every animal leaves behind mm-hmm. can really spark something in them.
So one of the things that I've really noticed just working with young people, especially mm-hmm. is it's really too easy to ignore the things that we don't have words for. And so when we can identify things and we have their names, we connect more. We understand more. We realize just how much is really out there. Because I'm going to tell you, we can look out this window and mm-hmm. I might not see a single example of wildlife, but they're out there.
Yeah.
And we'll pay more attention once we have the name. Once we have the name, we pay more attention, we care more. Yeah. And it might lead to career. It might just lead to appreciation. It might just lead to an understanding that, you know what, when life is really stressful, I'm going to get out into this space that feels friendly and beautiful to me because I can look around and I can name the things mm-hmm. and appreciate them. So,
not to over stretch this or anything, but I do believe that this does have a point in it too. Most fear starts with ignorance, without knowing something, without understanding. I talk about this a lot when it comes to races and creeds and sexes and that when it got a lot of our that we have in this day and age that it's been around from dawn of time and that we're trying to bring the numbers down on and stuff and increase the knowledge of. It's no different with these subjects because I was like this mm-hmm. growing up when I first moved out here and I'm sleeping on a couch in my Nana and Papa's house and right next to the window. And I lived in the same kind of scenario in downtown Chicago.
Sure.
And it was nothing for me to hear those noises. Mm-hmm. It didn't freak me out at all. I grew up with it. Out here, I'm sleeping on that couch and I hear these noises outside and I have no idea what's out there. I thought the boogeyman, chupacabra, I any monster,
Bigfoot,
they're all out there and they're waiting for me because those noises, it was a raccoon.
Yeah.
It was a raccoon. That's what I didn't, my papa taught me the sound of a raccoon and I ended up learning what a raccoon sounded like. So when the next night when I'm going to sleep, I don't freak out. I'm like, oh, it's a raccoon just doing his thing.
Yeah.
It's knowledge that helps create that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it created a lifetime love of animals for me. That to this day, I just enjoy learning about animals, and whether it's their footprints or any of these other things.
Yeah.
I may have not gone into that as a field, but I have an empathy and a care for animals that I didn't really have growing up until those early moments.
You bet.
Just don't know what it can spark in a kid.
So one of the great things that I love, so 4-H has a shooting sports program. Mm-hmm. Wildlife is incorporated into that. And so many kids have learned so much. Like, they'll just be spewing facts from watching shows like Wild Kratts.
Mm.
Cool to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But programs like this at the library, it adds a hands-on, actually let me touch, feel, get an idea for the size, understand color better, you know. And with scats, I mean, it's many colors, and you can see a lot more in there than you realize that you might. You can even identify what they've been eating based on the fur that's in there. So
it's crazy.
There's so much there, but it's really, it's bringing that education piece full circle. It's not just theoretical. It's not just words on a page. It's not just pictures on a screen. It's something right there in front of us, which is really, I think, the power of learning through the hands-on method that 4-H really advocates.
Yeah. This is an awesome class. I encourage people to learn, find out more about it, to attend it, be a part of it. You can register online. Go to just type in your search bar, Wood County 4-H, pops right up for you, and registration is right in that website. You can find it real easy that way. Again, Wood County 4-H.
Yep, and it's free. It's just one of those things. We always want to make sure we have enough materials for everybody who plans on coming. So if you're not able to register, yeah, by all means, still come and see. But please register so we get the best idea possible for how many will be there.
Yeah, that registration is important. I mean, I think everybody can relate to that. You're hosting something, or you're having a party or something like that. You want to know, you have a ballpark of how many people are coming.
Absolutely.
It's a very similar thing. It's a similar theme of a lot of events that the 4-H does, and a lot of the things that kids get from being a part of 4-H. Mm-hmm. I want to kind of focus on that today with you, if you don't mind, Laura. I don't think we get a chance to do that nearly enough, of the true benefits of 4-H. We say that, and it comes up in conversation with these events we talk about, really getting our hands in the dirt, and really, no pun intended, but really getting into the subject matter of why it's so great for kids to be a part of 4-H. Mm-hmm. I think one of our first conversations you and I had that really opened my mind to this, because my sister was a Brownie, my sister cared like the 4-H, and her best friend did. I knew a little bit about it, and I knew it was beneficial to them, but I didn't know nearly as much as not only how great 4-H is, but how much it's evolved over the years.
You bet. So where are the roots of 4-H? Absolutely. They are in agriculture, and they are in what we might think about as some as the home ec things, right? Mm-hmm. So boys could do the farming things. Boys could learn about raising livestock, or they could learn about raising corn and crops. Where the girls, they were back at home, and they were learning how to do the food preservation, safe canning, or they were learning how to sew. Great skills to learn even today. These are important skills even today. But as time went on, we discovered that there's need for new things. Mm-hmm. You know what? There are industries out there today that did not exist 100 years ago when 4-H began.
Yeah.
Right? And so 4-H is constantly evolving and maybe I shouldn't say evolving. Maybe I should just say growing and use like a tree analogy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our roots are deeply there in agriculture and family skills.
Mm-hmm.
But we're growing, we're branching out into all new arenas, whether it's citizenship, whether it's robotics and other kind of high science and technology things. Great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes we focus so much on those specific skills that we forget to incorporate, like, what does it mean for a young person to belong?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean for a young person to have a relationship with a caring adult?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for us to assume that everybody has that. And truth be told, not all young people, even in our area, you know, we like to think about us being in small town rural Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
There are problems here, just like there are in big cities. There are kids with unstable home lives. There are kids that are struggling because their families are financially struggling. And so as much as parents or guardians might want to provide the stability, they mm-hmm. might want to be able to provide that, you know, really personal and important connection. They can't always do it.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that I am really focused on right now is how do we help to reach the young kids, the young people, right? It's not just really young kids. It's everything from kindergarten yeah. through a year past high school.
Yeah.
How do we help them discover new things, get opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise be able to have? You know, I grew up down in southeastern Wisconsin. I grew up with an alcoholic father and a mother who is an alcoholic and is addicted to prescription pills. Mm. I didn't have the same sort of life that a lot of my friends did. Mm. From the outside, it looked like I did, mm. right? And so that's, I think, one of my motivating factors. Like, what can I do to make sure that even the kids that have kind of unstable situations that they're growing up in mm. can have all of the opportunities? 4-H can be that. And so Jasmine Molina is our new AmeriCorps member. Mm-hmm. And I, we're working really hard to reach out into new spaces to hopefully be able to make connection with some of those young people that aren't going to be in a traditional 4-H club, like this program that we talked about at the mm-hmm. library. I've got some programming that I'm looking to get into the school district. So maybe all third graders or maybe all fourth graders in the school district can participate in this. So they have an opportunity to kind of get their hands dirty mm-hmm. And to work with somebody who's, you know, not grading their papers every day,
right.
not yelling at them for not getting their homework in on time, but just really there to just discover and be mm-hmm. excited about the discoveries and everything with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
First, Laura, you know, you and I have known each other for a couple of years now. We've been doing this for a while and everything. I consider us friends, and I really love working with you. I really appreciate what you just shared. Thank you. I don't think you knew this about me. I also grew up in an addictive family.
Yeah.
And I think we have a kinship there, if you will, that most kids do from coming from a background like that. But most kids don't know that about other kids.
Right.
And we know what we're talking about with this subject and how hard it is for kids not only to be in these environments and have these opportunities. Sometimes it's just difficult making new friends.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just making friends, period, and stuff. Being a part of 4-H, being a part of an organization like this, at the simplest bare roots of it, giving kids an opportunity to be in positive environments mm-hmm. and maybe make new friends. That alone, you had me. All right. Sign them up. Let's do it. Let alone all the millions of other great benefits that come from being a part of 4-H. So
yeah.
I really appreciate your perspective and where you're coming from on this. I know that a lot of the members of 4-H over the years, not just you and the current team, but people over the years have been this. My sister's original Brownie teacher had a rough background.
Yeah.
It's something that brings us together, mm-hmm. that we get that not everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that you need a background like that to be a part of 4-H, obviously.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
But it adds to the tapestry that is 4-H mm-hmm. and all the wide variety of kids that you have a part of these programs now. Old 4-H was wonderful and great, did some really good things. But you touched on earlier, kids, boys did this, girls did that.
Yep.
Now, what do you want to do? What do you want to learn about? I don't care about your sex. What do you want to learn about?
Yeah.
And that it's such an open and fun environment for kids.
Yep.
And for the kids to see other kids learning these things and other activities that are fun and interesting. There's so much to it.
Yeah. Not only do I not care about your gender, I don't care about where you live. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you live on a farm, if you live in out in the woods, but not on a farm. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you live in the middle of a city in an apartment. And this is one of the misconceptions that's still very strong mm-hmm. about 4-H. And it's one of the barriers for people joining.
Mm.
You do not need to live on a farm. You do not need to have a rural background. There is something in 4-H for you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you want to learn about those ag-related things. Great, we can make that happen. Maybe you never want to touch an animal ever in your life. That's okay, mm-hmm. right? Because we are really not focused on creating the very best farmer in the world. We are not interested in just creating like the person who's going to create the new salsa factory in Wisconsin Rapids or anything like that. We are really interested in building young people into being the very best adults they can be. And if they've got really cool concrete skills, excellent. Mm-hmm. But if they know how to be a good human, if they know how to be responsible and be empathetic, and if they know how to be a hard worker, mm-hmm. if they know how to pick themselves up after failure, those are the things we care about. And our little carrot on the stick is the project work, the opportunity to work with the animals or to be able to one of the programs I'm going to try and do in schools is called Chick Quest. So learning about chickens and eggs and how they're developing, and just there's a lot of science behind it. So how do you ask the questions to figure out the answers? That's what science is about. So those are all the pieces that really get me charged up. It's not about the agriculture. It's about just the avenue to help kids learn.
Two quick notes. One, nobody is naming their programs better than the 4-H. Chick Quest, great name. What's the SCAT? Like all the names of all these programs. I love them. Yeah. They're so great. You guys are so creative over there. You do a great job with that. But one thing that you and I have touched on, but maybe it's been a little while since we've been able to, with all these things that the 4-H offers, they're all amazing and wonderful. But again, bare roots down to the bottom, certain things that, you know, every kid can benefit from. There's not a lot of opportunities in world these days to build a kid's self-confidence. And I love that aspect, that matters to you guys, that you think of that even. There's not a kid alive that couldn't use a little bit of jolt of self-confidence.
Right.
It's part of being young. And I think it's another one of those things that we forget about as adults. You know, making new friends, we don't think about how hard that can be. Even the most charismatic 7-10-year-old or whatever, you know, it can be difficult. And a child's self-confidence. There is so many things in life to build, to take down a child's confidence. Some of it unintended, you know, some of it just the way of the world, and some other things that just kind of happen. Here's an opportunity, an almost guaranteed opportunity, that your kid joins 4-H, that kid's going to come out of it a little more confident, feeling a little more sure of themselves. Yeah. It's almost, it can't be helped. It's organic. It's kind of built into 4-H.
One of the things that I think it's important for all of us to understand, as adults, I think we know that we are our own worst critics.
Yeah.
The same is true for young people. Yes. And I don't know if we're training our kids in that or if it's just the way of humanity.
Yeah, I don't know.
But to be in a space with 4-H volunteers and 4-H staff, like, we know how hard young people are on themselves. Mm-hmm. We know how hard it can be to fail, how scary it can be to try something new because we've got that failure or that self-talk in the back of our heads, like convincing us not to do it. But in 4-H spaces, it's like a world of cheerleaders. You know what? Like, just go ahead and try it. Just try it and see what happens. And you know what? If you fall, I'm here to catch you. And I'm going to help boost you back up. I'm going to tell you my own failure stories. I'm going to talk with you and let's reflect and say, okay, so self-analyze. What went really good for you? And what do you think you could change that would lead to a better outcome? These are the kind of skills that 4-H is all about. And maybe in the end, it means that we go from a Pinterest fail cake to something that's gorgeous. The key in that development is to not let somebody quit. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. I'm no good. I'm never going to try this again. That doesn't lead to good results in life. And it's in that then, okay, I can look at my own work. I can think about ways to do it better. And I can identify things that I do really well. That's a confidence booster. And to have a caring adult say, you know what? You can do it. I can see great things in you. That's really going to help boost the confidence. I'm not saying that it has to come from those adults all the time. The adults are helping young people to learn how to bring that internally.
You know, thinking too of doing these projects, kids doing these projects around other kids, and the support they get from their own peers is key too, and very important. Encouragement, support go so far. That can be a big building block too. And it's in... As a father of three, where my kids are in their mid to late 20s, and I still feel this way. I don't want them to fail at anything. I never want them to feel an ounce of pain. I want nothing but good days for them, blah, blah, blah. We get this as parents. But it's our job as parents to let them fail at times, to let them scrape their knee, because this is how you learn as a human being. You know, we don't learn from our successes. We learn from our failures. Mm-hmm. That's how we really grow as a person. And then when we finally get something right, that's when it makes it mean something, because it took us so long to do that. I think this is another thing we forget as adults, that it's so good for kids to fail. It's good for kids to learn these things, to, you know, try and not succeed, and then try again and not succeed, and then try again and succeed.
Yeah.
There's something to that that is so organic that the 4-H really incorporates into a lot of what they do. It's one thing to tell a kid, hey, you did a good job there. It's another thing to apply that, to add on to that, hey, you did a good job here, and them themselves seeing their progress.
Yep. It's goal setting, and it's just, I think we're trained from an early age not to brag.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in the Midwest.
Yeah, so I don't know. Oh my gosh, you're so big-headed. You're so stuck up. You're so whatever comes along with the recognition that I can do something well. Mm. And so having an avenue and a reason to be able to identify the good things, encouraging young people to do that is so important.
Yeah.
And it's not about being stuck up. It's not about being a braggart. It's about recognizing what I'm doing well, what I'm not doing so well, and how can we improve overall.
Yeah.
It's not about the grade at the end of the day, you know, and that's one of the things that my kids struggle with at school, right? So if they don't do well on a math test in this unit, oh, they're no good in this. They just don't know.
Mm.
And that's not the truth, right? Mm-hmm. It's maybe they didn't understand. Maybe they learned it a different way. Maybe if they could try new techniques, they could get the right answers and it would make more sense. Hands-on learning is all about that.
Yeah.
The way I do it might work for me, and it might not work for you.
Yeah.
So let's try it out. Let's see. Let's experiment.
We're speaking with Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension, Madison Wood County. Laura, what we've talked about today, a lot of interesting, a lot of fun conversation. I know that I'm curious, and I'm sure some of the audience is, of how you're working to expand the outreach of 4-H and do some of these things and reach some of these kids you're talking about.
Yeah, so I know that we are not going to get everybody into a 4-H club. There's lots of reasons why, and that's okay. But I really do deeply believe that this is a benefit not only to the young people themselves, but a benefit to community, because we'll have stronger adults in the future if we have, you know, young people that can analyze themselves and do better and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So partnership is really the way that we're trying to reach out. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it. We have an amazing network of public libraries in Wood County. And that's one of my favorite places to partner. They allow us to offer free programming for the community. The librarians work with us for what kinds of things might be of interest. So, you know, we have the definites on what's the SCAT right now for December 5th. But Melina, our AmeriCorps member, is also working on some programs that'll be at McMillan Library during the holiday break when kids are out of school. Like, go on to your library. She'll take care of the young kids. Parents might go off and peruse, enjoy a cup of coffee, who knows what, on their own for a little while. But again, anybody can walk into that library. Yeah. They are always welcome to join into those programs. Melina's also working on some partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, which again, it's a new audience. They belong to a great program already, but we have some resources that we can bring in and offer some new opportunities for the young people there. Jasmine and I are working on the Juntos program up in Marshfield, and we hope to be able to bring that down to Southwood County as well. And it really is all about doing what's going to help our young people succeed in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to hear anybody talk about those young people these days or whatever else, unless they are doing something to actively help and bring those young people up.
100%. Man, I just love talking with you, Laura. A great, great conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you to you and Jasmine, what you guys are putting into our community and doing. If people have follow-up questions, you want to know some more about 4-H, how can they get in touch with you?
So our office phone number where you can reach me, Jasmine, or Melina, is 715-421-8439. Or you can always email me. I'm at laura.huber@wisc.edu. And we publish all of our programs on our Wood County 4-H, WI Facebook page. And we've also got Instagram, too. So we're trying to reach out and let everybody know what we're up to.
Be sure to follow those pages, everybody. Trust me, it's a great follow. Very glad I did. Laura, always good talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, James.
We'll talk soon. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.